Welcome back. We are on chapter 24. I need to go back and review the last chapter to make sure that I read all of it. I felt weird a couple times while doing it. And I'm not entirely positive that I nailed it properly. But, all that said, we are on chapter 24 of the Interlinear Bible. And here we go. And he said to Moses, "Come up to Jehovah, you and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 from the elders of Israel, and bow yourselves from a distance, and let Moses approach by himself to Jehovah, and they shall not approach, and the people shall not go up with him." And Moses came and told all the words of Jehovah to the people, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, "We will do all the words which Jehovah has spoken." And Moses wrote all the words of Jehovah. And he rose early in the morning and built an altar below the mountain and 12 memorial pillars for that 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the sons of Israel. And they offered up burnt offerings and offered sacrifices of bullocks, peace offerings to Jehovah. And Moses took half of the blood and he put it in basins. And he sprinkled half of the blood on the altar. And he took the book of covenant and read in the ears of the people. And they said, "We will do that. We will do all that Jehovah has spoken, and we will hear." And Moses took the blood and sprinkled on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which Jehovah has cut with you concerning these words." And Moses and Aaron went up with Nadab and Abihu, it's A-B-I-H-U. Sorry, that's my daughter in the background. She's just messing around. There's no way to really keep her from making noise, so please excuse that. She's a child of God, though, so enjoy it, too, if you hear it. She's very happy right now. Up with Abihu. And 70 from the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet was the work of a pavement of sapphire. That must have been beautiful. And as the heavens for cleanness. Clearness. And under his feet was as the work of a pavement of sapphire. And as the heavens for clearness. And he did not stretch out his hand to the nobles of the sons of Israel. And they saw God, and they ate and drank. Sorry for the pausing there. I'm making sure I'm not losing my place as I'm reading. And Jehovah said to Moses, "Come up to me to the mountain and be there, and I will give to you the tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written to teach them." And Moses rose up, and Joshua his attendant. Oh, I guess that's the end of the sentence. I made it sound like there was going to be more. And Moses rose up, and Joshua his attendant. And Moses went up to the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you." And behold, Aaron, who is a master of matters, and Hur are with you. Let him approach to them. Hur. So long in between these chapters I'm reading that I've already forgot if Hur has been mentioned before. It's just H-U-R. Reminds me of Ben-Hur. I think that was a movie. A bit before my time. Verse 15. And Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of Jehovah dwelt on the mountain of Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days, and he called to Moses on the seventh day from the midst of the cloud. And the appearance of the glory of Jehovah was like fire burning on top of the mountain before the eyes of the sons of Israel. And Moses came into the midst of the cloud, and he went up into the mountain. And Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Ooh, another 40-day, 40-night thing. I think that's how long... I'm not sure. I've probably read it already. Maybe I haven't. Maybe it'll be further in the Bible, but Jesus spent 40 days in the desert, I believe. So, how about that? Yeah. Chapter 25. This one looks to be quite a bit longer. So, here we go. Bear with me. Chapter 25. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and let them take an offering from me, for every man whose heart impels him, let him take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them. gold and silver and bronze and blue and purple and crimson and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skin dyed red and dagong skins, whatever a dagong is, and acacia wood, I think it's acacia, and acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the oil of anointing, and for the incense of perfumes, onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod, and for the pouch. And let them make a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell in their midst. Now, see, that's odd, that I'm sure somewhere in here I've heard a million times that a rich man is not secure in heaven as a poor man is almost guaranteed. I mean, as long as you're, you know, have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but, or it's supposed to be harder for a rich man to get in. So for God to be asking for gold and silver and just all these luxuries seems odd. I don't know. Maybe these riches aren't for men. They're only for your God, but I don't know. That just seems odd. So moving on. That I may dwell in their midst according to all. And let them make a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell in their midst according to all which I am going to reveal to you, the plan of the tabernacle and the plan of all of its vessels. And so you shall do. And they shall make an ark of the acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, and 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. And you shall overlay it with pure gold. You shall overlay it inside and outside, and you shall make a wreath of gold all around on it. And you shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, and shall put it on its 4 feet, 2 rings on the one side and 2 rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood, and you shall overlay them with gold. And you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark by them. One sec. Oh, I can't pause it.
Hey.
Shh. Apologize for that. She's just getting closer to me and making noise.
Hey. Quiet.
Gold you shall overlay, you shall put it on the 4 feet, 2 rings on one side, 2 rings on the second side, and you shall make poles of acacia wood, and you shall overlay them with gold. And you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not depart from it, and you shall put the testimony into the ark which I shall give you. So is this the Ark of the Covenant? Is that what we're talking about? That's what it sounds like. Huh. And you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, its length 2.5 cubits, and its width 1.5 cubits. And you shall make 2 cherubs of gold. I have no idea what a cherub is. You shall make them of beaten work from the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Not sure what that is either. And make 1 cherub from the end here, and 1 cherub from the end there. You shall make the cherubs from the mercy seat on its 2 ends. And the cherub shall be spreading out wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces each toward its brother. The faces of the cherubs shall be toward the mercy seat. Man, you know, it sounds like if you knew what all these things were, if you had to, I mean, I Google it, but who knows how, you know, honest Google's being about any of this stuff. That this is a finite description of what the Ark of the Covenant will look like. So if you were to see it, I would imagine it would match this description, or it should. Makes me wonder. I have no idea if they've ever found the Ark of the Covenant. I don't think they have, but I don't know. I've never really studied into that. Or if they would tell us if they did, right? So.
Hey. Quiet.
Sorry, we quickly forget. And you shall put the mercy seat on the ark from above, and you shall put the testimony into the ark, which I shall give to you. And I will meet you there, and I will speak with you above the mercy seat from between the 2 cherubs which are on the ark of the testimony, all which I shall command you concerning the sons of Israel. Huh. Just to reiterate real quick, I'm a single dad with my daughter. She's got autism and is doing virtual school, so... we live in Yakima, and we're just blanketed in smoke, so there's really just no place for me to go to give her time away from me, or me to give her time away from each other, basically. So we are just together all the time, so I apologize to anyone who might be annoyed by the background noise, but it is what it is. So hopefully you can see past it to hear the message. All right, verse 23. And you shall make a table of acacia wood, its length 2 cubits and its width 1 cubit and its height 1.5 cubits. And you shall overlay it with pure gold, and you shall make it a wreath of gold all around. And you shall make a border of a hand's breadth for it all around. And you shall make a wreath of gold all around on its border. And you shall make 4 rings of gold for it. And you shall put the... Change in there. Switching page. And you shall put the wings on the 4 corners, which are to its 4 feet. The rings shall be near the border for housing the poles to carry the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood, and you shall overlay them with gold, and the table shall be carried by them. And you shall make its its bowls, and its pitchers, and its sacrificial cups, with which a drink offering is made. You shall make them of pure gold. And you shall put the bead of the presence on the table before me continually. Now that makes me think of the, Indiana Jones, and that one, the one where they're got a drink out of the chalet, and he picks up like the simplest looking one. I don't remember if in that it was made of pure gold. It was the simplest looking one though that he decided to drink from that didn't kill him. So he made a good choice, I would say. But that just makes me think of that. It makes me think of all the movies that have depicted like the Ark of the Covenant, and I wish I was an artist with a better understanding of the words that they're saying here, what they are. I mean, I could look them up and find them, but I'm not an artist, so I could never really render my own idea of this, even on paper. But I wonder if there's got to be people who have. And I know there's been plenty of Arks of Covenants in different movies I've seen or different depictions of it, and I wonder how accurate those are based off of this description. It just seems really neat. I don't know. All right, verse 31. You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of beaten work. I'm guessing that means I can't think of the name of the guys that would make swords and things right now. My mind's going blank on it, but you would pound it out, like literally beat it into shape. What are those guys called? Can't think of it right now. They work on an anvil. I just cannot think of what that's called. Wow. Okay. Beaten work. And the base, its base and its shaft, its calyxes, its knobs, and its blossoms shall be from it. And 6 branches shall go out from its sides, 3 branches of the lamp from its one side, and 3 branches from the lamp, 3 branches of the lamp from its second side. 3 almond-like calyxes. Ooh, they just spelt that differently. The first time they spell calyx, it's C-A-L-I-X-E, and this time it's C-A-L-Y-X-E. I wonder why that is. Well, this book is allegedly completely typed out by hand by a scribe, so maybe just a typo, one of them. But yeah, they in the same paragraph, in 31... Verse 31 of Exodus 25 here, they spell calyxes differently. Weird. Stuff like that slows my brain down when I'm reading this. 3 almond-like calyxes. One on the one branch with knob and blossom. Knob and blossom. So are these... Is a calyx a leaf? Anyway, on the one branch with knob. I'm thinking a knob would be... Well, no, I was thinking the stem, but no... Would that be the part that the flower actually blooms from? And maybe a calyx is the stem? Not if it's almond-like, though. Almond-like sounds like a leaf to me. Anyway, moving on. Sorry to get so sidetracked. On the one branch...
Hey! Quiet! All done!
I'm gonna finish this chapter, and then I'll wait until she's done... Playing with the, that's what she's doing. She's playing with our dog. She's jumping on her. What an amazing dog we have to not just freak out on my daughter, because my daughter basically treats my dog like they're in a WWE ring. She just flops, jumps, gets on the arms of the couch, and literally, it's like doing a pile driver, dropping an elbow on some poor soul in the middle of the ring. The dog never even whimpers. She'll just look at me with her ears down, like, oh my God, save me. It's just, what a well-mannered dog. I didn't teach her that. That came from God. She doesn't, greatest dog, she black lab, German Shepherd mix. Take her to the dog park and she'll fight with every big dog there. I mean, not, she doesn't go out looking for fights, but if they mess with her, she will literally get in a fight with them. But little dogs can bite her ankles bloody and she just won't touch them. She doesn't even bark at them. She'll hackle her hair, but she just starts dancing around and running away from them like she doesn't know what to do. It's like an elephant afraid of a mouse. It's really endearing, actually. And you know, heartwarming to know that she is that sensitive to smaller and younger creatures. I really like it. She won't attack a cat either. Cats will scratch her nose up. She just likes to get right in their face and sniff them and lick them. So, yeah, okay. 3 almond-like calyxes, 1 on the branch with knob and blossom, and 3 almond-like calyxes on the 1 branch with knob and blossom. So for the 6 branches, those going out from the lampstand. And on the lampstand shall be 4 almond-like calyxes, each with its knobs and its blossoms. I wonder if that's what's on the front of this book. There's this blossom that's on the front of my book. I'm not sure if it's in the, I don't think I have it pictured anywhere on the podcast, but it resembles like a flower / pine cone. It always made me think of like the pineal gland because you find that in so many things. But as they're describing this, it sounds a lot like what is on the front of this book. And in fact, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And then, yeah, and all the little things are almond shaped. So I guess that's what they're describing, this symbol. If you want to know what I'm talking about, Google the Interlinear Bible. It's in Hebrew, Greek, and English. I have a blue copy. All the text on the cover and spine is in gold. And right on the cover, it's got a picture of what it's describing, and its numbers are correct for the leaves and what it's doing here. And it's cool because the pine cone, like the pieces of the pine cone that go up, that go, you know, go from white at the base to narrow at the top, they resemble a flame in a way. So it's just a really neat kind of picture they got going on there. Yeah, and the knob under 2 branches, okay, let me make sure I'm right. And the lampstand shall be 4 almonds light calyxes, each with its knobs and its blossoms, and a knob under 2 branches of it, and a knob under 2 branches of it. It just did that twice? A knob under 2 branches of it, and a knob under 2 branches of it, and a knob under 2 branches of it, to the 6 branches, these going from the lampstand. So it just repeats itself, just letting you know, it's really, really weird. Okay, yeah, so 35, verse 35 in this Bible, sounds like this, and a knob under 2 branches of it, and a knob under 2 branches of it, and a knob under 2 branches of it, to the 6 branches, those going from the lampstand. So just that phrase is repeated 3 times right in a row. Their knobs and their branches shall be of it, all of it 1 beaten work of pure gold. Oh my goodness. So we're talking about a master, I still can't think of the word. God, I thought if I just jumped right into it, the word would pop into my head, but not amazing. What, man, what is that called? An iron worker. A sword maker. Oh, I'm going to have to look it up as soon as I'm done here, just because that's going to bother me. What's funny is that in like medieval times, anytime you play like kings and queens and castles and stuff like that. I used to do it when we were kids. I had 2 brothers and a sister. Just, you know, you get bored doing cowboys and Indians or whatever. And sometimes, you know, you're the noble king and someone's the evil king. And I always wanted to be the guy that made the swords, because I figured that is the one person who's never going to run out of weapons, you know? And he's friends to both sides. I mean, you can kind of play politics if you're that person and supply both sides, you know, like America does with its wars. So, not that that's right, I'm just saying, like, that was always who I wanted to be. The person that made the armor and made the weapons, because I felt like that person was extremely important. I mean, without that guy, the king doesn't have a sword. So, yeah. verse 37, and you shall make it seven lamps, and one shall set up its lamps, and they shall give light on its face, and its tongues and its pans shall be of pure gold. One shall make it of a talent of pure gold with all these vessels. And see that they are made by their patterns, which you were caused to see in the mountain. And that is the end of chapter 25. That's where I'm going to end it right here. My daughter needs a wipe, so I'm going to go help her out. And have a great day.